Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
All right, Josh.
Yes, Scott?
I would like to buy some adult-themed products.
What you would do then is you would go to adamandeve.com. It's this website and this newfangled trend called the internet. I don't know if this thing's gonna last much longer, but you go to adamandeve.com, and then at the end you enter the promo code STATIC. And besides whatever sex toy or video or whatever you end up buying, they'll send you 3 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, they'll cover the U.S. shipping, and you'll get 50% off of whatever the item is that you're buying. But like I said, I don't know if this internet thing is going to be around all that much longer. The trend is about ready to crash on this thing.
I think it's going to last.
You think this interwebs thing is going to be around for a while?
I think it's going to last. Something tells me that it may have weaseled its way into pop culture enough to really stay.
Even with net neutrality being destroyed?
Even with net neutrality being screwed for now.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to last. But that's a totally different topic. So let's talk some trends. The fad. What is the first one that enters your head when somebody says a fad or a trend? Not even confined to a time period, but what's the first object, whatever it is, that enters your head?
Well, you remember we were talking about some primary school and high school experiences last week. Well, there was one trend that everybody had one of these. Even I did, and I don't know why. But everybody had one, and it ended up getting its own Saturday morning cartoon, as was the way.
Yeah, and Scott showed me this right before the show. I literally had no idea this existed, so enter at your own risk, people.
There are many.
I'm not going to subject you to that anymore.
Scott, I'm going to ask you this, and I want an honest opinion. Am I racist to say that is the most Japanese thing I have ever seen?
No.
Because
it's an extremely Japanese thing.
It is. I mean, the style, the tone, the animation, the singing, the voice, everything is just screaming, "We are from Japan!"
But yeah, everybody had a Tamagotchi.
For those who don't know, and the only reason I'm even aware of them is because of people on the internet, explain what a Tamagotchi is.
Tamagotchi is it's a virtual pet, really. It was a little keychain thing with an LCD screen, and you had buttons for feed and clean and basic needs, sleep. And the idea was, you would care for this virtual pet by pressing buttons and making it beep. And we heard some of the beeps there at the beginning of the intro.
At the expense of your real pet? Like, you know, you forget to feed the dog, but you feed your Tamagotchi?
Well, there were a lot of kids that lived in cities and apartments and stuff like that that couldn't have a real pet other than a fish. And I don't consider fish real pets. They're just living decorations.
Yeah, really. Fish are like posters that move and you occasionally have to feed.
Yes. And for the record, we have like 3 fish tanks upstairs. So
yes,
I like fish.
Scott has fish.
Yeah. I like fish, but I don't consider them real pets because you cannot cuddle them.
Well, you can. At least you can. It's just awkward.
Unless they're koi or some.
Troy McClure likes to cuddle fish. How many people are going to get that joke?
But yes, if you couldn't have a real pet, or even if you could have a real pet and you just wanted one of these because everybody else had them, you could have a Tamagotchi.
And you know what? To go back to last week just for a second, it immediately makes me think of Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? In the 90s, were we really into the era of you needing virtual robotic pets? I mean, seriously, is this the titular electric sheep?
See, again, I'm thinking of kids that couldn't have, because you and I were lucky enough to have dogs and cats and stuff like that growing up. And, but again, I'm thinking of kids that couldn't have pets. These were big sellers in places like New York City and some other places. And if you were just unlucky enough to live in an apartment building or something that didn't allow pets, there you go.
I don't know. It kind of seems like, I know I'm being cynical again, it kind of seems like an almost futile attempt to pretend that you're normal.
And I knew people that really obsessed over these things too. They would teach them new tricks.
What I've gathered from...
They would occasionally evolve. If you took good enough care of them, they would... They started out in like an egg form, and you hatched the egg. And then if you took good enough care of them, they would grow, et cetera, et cetera. So...
All right. Maybe I'm wrong, since I don't really know a whole lot about this. Did they, whatever company put this out...
Bandai, I think.
Okay, Bandai, did they miss a brilliant marketing opportunity by having you buy add-ons and extra chips for the evolutions that, hey, now it can breathe virtual fire if you buy this insert chip or something? Did they do that, or is that just the way my mind works?
We weren't quite there yet, at least in the 90s.
This is like 96, maybe?
In these keychain ones, we weren't quite... I'm sure it could have been possible, but... They didn't. Nowadays, they actually have a Tamagotchi app for your iPod or iPhone or iPad or, you know, your Android device and stuff like that.
Thank you for doing that to me.
And they do have add-ons that you can buy. They have the little microtransaction store. So no, they didn't miss that opportunity.
They just missed it then.
It wasn't quite there then.
Okay. Well, before we get too deep into fads, the specific fads, let's talk about fads in general. Why do you think a fad, and again, in general, because there's always going to be exceptions and whatnot, why do fads hit everybody? And right now we can really only talk America, all at the same time, and then usually fizzle out relatively quickly.
I don't know quite what the marketing strategy is. We would have to have, what's the name of Billy May's partner? The British fellow? Because we obviously can't have Billy Mays on the show, which is a shame.
Well, we can if we have like a Ouija board and shit.
That would have been an awesome episode. I'm here for Lost in the Static. It's me, Billy Mays. So,
better than you're going to like my nuts.
Yeah, no, if we ever had Vince Offer on, I'd have to punch him in the face.
No, you'd have to bite his tongue. Remember the hooker?
No,
the hooker bit his tongue, remember?
That's fine. She can have his tongue. I don't want it. But I don't know quite what the marketing deal is or what lights the fire under these, but the fact is they're cultural memes. There's something about these products that hits and it spreads very, very quickly. It's a cultural meme. And nowadays, you find something cool on the internet, you share it on Facebook, it's basically a way of going, hey, look at this! But, and that's the way fads worked. They were.
But, I mean, I'm sorry if I'm getting too analytical, but doesn't that speak to the psychology of the average American that they're looking for something to bond with other Americans over, and rather than do it over interpersonal relationships or allowing gay people to marry or whatnot, they decide to bond over something stupid?
Sometimes it's...
Am I reading too much into it?
Yeah, you are. But to answer your question, sometimes it's a whole lot easier to bond over something stupid. And it's a whole lot more socially acceptable to bond over something stupid. The stupid is the gateway. Hey, look, I just got this new Slankit or this new Snuggie.
We'll get to those.
We'll get there. Isn't that funny? And then... After you get through the isn't that funny phase, then you can start exploring each other interpersonally and you can move on to heavier topics like gay marriage or, you know, is this person extremely conservative? Is this person very liberal? Is this, you know, blah, blah, blah. But these little fluff pieces are gateways. They're, well, you know.
And on that note then, with that said, then why why do these things burn out as quickly as they come? Because like I said, all the things we're going to bring up have different shelf lives, but the shelf life is relatively small when you compare it to something that's been around for 30 years and is still around today.
Something like Coca-Cola, which has been around our entire life.
It's been around long before we were alive.
Right. And it's, you can't really bond with a person over a Coca-Cola, regardless of what the commercials say. You can't say, oh my God, this is such a neat thing. This is Coca-Cola. And they're going to look at you and go, you're an idiot. And? It's been there, you know. However, something like Coca-Cola Black. Do you remember that at all? Coke Black?
I remember seeing it in the stores. I've never
had it. It was Coke plus coffee. It was during that.
Sounds disgusting.
It was during that 90s coffee.
The rise rules of Starbucks. Phase.
Yeah. And something like that you can bond over because it's new, it's exciting, and to satiate your curiosity, yes, it was terrible.
But at the same time, I think there is something deeper to this of like wanting to, longing to belong to something. Let's go back to the rise of Starbucks. I knew people that were like, they wouldn't be talking to anybody on their way to work. They're walking to work, they're on the subway, whatever. And they would see someone else with the same kind of Starbucks cup. Well, now I have a bond with this person, and they would strike up a conversation. Kind of like, well, I like Starbucks. You like Starbucks. That gives us some common ground. That, to me, is almost a desperate, and I don't mean that in a good way, attempt to try to find some way to bond with another human being.
You have to have a gateway. You might do it because you're you, but the average person can't walk up to somebody on the street and go, how do you feel about gay marriage? To the other average person on the street. Without the other average person going, well, is this for a survey? Do you have a news crew with you?
I'm just curious. You know. For me, it would be, I'm just curious. Well, Scott dies.
You can't do that socially. You have to have that little gateway. And that Starbucks cup is a gateway. And, you know, to people who date and actually interact with other social people, it's... If you see the girl that you're extremely interested in on the bus... And she's super hot. She's unapproachable. Most people go, well, she's automatically out of my league. Why should I waste my time? Oh, wait. Look, she has the same Starbucks order I do. There's my shoe in the door.
Okay, well then, why do certain things become trends and fads when they shouldn't? Like things that are obviously one-note gag gifts that somehow catch on, like the goddamn big mouth Billy Bass, you know, that goddamn, we don't have a sound bite. We couldn't find one that had decent audio,
but
because everyone seems to have their fucking fridge running in the background on YouTube. Does anyone else know what fucking noise reduction means? God damn it. Sorry. As an editor, that bugs the shit out of me. But now Scott's being a dick, moving his mic. He's trying to get his chair to squeak to piss me off.
But yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from.
But like
from.
The Big Mouth Billy Bass, it's clearly a gag gift. No one's really going to use this. How many times when you hang this Big Mouth Billy Bass in your garage, are you going to press that button and hear it go, take me to the river? How many times? It's a gag. Yet the whole country caught it at the same time.
10, 15, you're going to show your buddies and go, haha, isn't this funny? And then that's that. And that's it's spread. I don't know. It hit something, spread quickly, and we moved on.
Because that thing had a shelf life of, what, 2 months?
Yeah. And then, like you said, it sits. Now it's, you know, some novelty thing up on the wall of an Applebee's.
Okay. Well, then on that same token, why then do these fads burn out the way they do in the manner of oversaturation? Why, you know, because it's almost like the people who are pushing these fads don't see them as fads. They see them like the Tamagotchi. That's what I consist on calling it, by the way. The Tamagotchi will always be here. So they don't see it as, well, it's going to get old in a month if we oversaturate the market. Just get as much out there as possible. Because all these things, that's the reason most fads go away. It's everywhere and it's unavoidable and you get sick of it.
There are two reasons that One, it's everywhere and you get sick of it. Two, it really is a one-note joke. Like our big mouth belly bass. You have your fun and it's done. Oh, look, they released Christmas Big Mouth Billy Bass. Oh, he's wearing a Santa hat and he does the same thing. But I saw that joke. It was neat in the store, but I'm not going to buy it. And that's, it's the one-note joke that dies very, very quickly. Or, like you say, the other one is oversaturation. And that is marketers going, it's hot right now, get as much out, make as much money as possible. Why the hell would you shoot for the long term? There's no money. We're not interested in the long term. There's no money in it.
Actually, there is, because you maybe build a lifelong or a brand customer. Like you said, Bandai put out the Tamagotchi. So maybe then these people, if we do this right and not oversaturate the market, we have a customer to whatever the next Bandai LCD product or LED product is, instead of, oh my God, I'm so sick of this fucking thing.
And Tamagotchi did that. Like I said, they have iPhone and iPad apps and Android apps and stuff like that. They're still around. They're still chugging along. They're still making money.
But I mean, you know, sometimes then I'm going to ask you, and this is going back to a specific one or two, why does a certain trend pick up when it's stupid? And I mean stupid right from the beginning, not even a one-note joke, like the pet rock. That was invented by hippies who literally were high and like, dude, this rock is like my dog.
And should have eyes, yes.
And yeah, and then somehow that caught on with middle-class housewives and high school students. And did they not get it's essentially hippie humor that they didn't get initially?
And it's cute.
It's dumb.
Sometimes you just have to have something for cute.
Is that why Tickle Me Elmo had fist fights and shit over it in 96?
No, that was stupidity.
Because you remember that in the news?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking, cause whatever company released it, I know it's Sesame Street, but I don't know what company made the toy, like Hasbro or something.
Yeah.
They released it like in late November, and holy shit, did the fucking Tickle Me Elmo take America by storm.
Watch out, there's something funny going on. It's new Tickle Me Elmo. Just tickle Elmo, and he really talks.
That tickles.
And laughs. Tickle him again, and hold on, because his whole body shakes with laughter.
Oh, boy.
So be on the lookout. He's coming to a funny bone near you. Tickle Me Elmo, the newest huggable member of the Tyco Sesame Street family. He's sold separately.
Okay, Tyco. Yeah, right. Which is weird, because aren't they normally known for making fucking radio-controlled trucks and shit?
That's Tonka.
No, or wait, no. Yeah, Tyco has radio-controlled
vehicles. Well, Tyco makes toys, period.
Yeah, dude, I think Tyco did robotics when we were teens. Remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought that was a Tyco.
But, you know, you've got your modern Tickle Me almost, too. There's a company devoted to a bunch of them. I think it started with the Cuddle Uppet, it was called. It was the blanket with the puppet head.
You've lost me on that one.
Okay, it was the blanket with the puppet head that you could get your favorite animal and
like, hey, it's a skunk.
Yeah, and it's a blanket with a puppet on it, the Cuddle Uppets. The same company made Stompies, the little kids.
I'm making faces at him like, the fuck?
But they're little kids' slippers that have air pressure things in the heels. So as you stomp down the front, the face on the front may open its eyes or open its mouth, or the ears of the dog flip up or something like that.
All right, that seems dangerous because that encourages kids to look at their feet while they're walking, and they're going to walk into a fucking wall.
Or downstairs in
some
cases.
Yeah, that just seems to be not well thought out.
But you have Stompies, the Stretchkins, they have Stretchkins, they have the lights that like the lit pillows and the little animals that project a light show on your ceiling and stuff like that. They've made a whole business out of basically going, here's the next new thing, kids, and here's a catchy song to go with it.
Well, to be fair, they've always done that, but it seems like the shelf life gets shorter as they go along, though.
Yes.
That, I think, speaks to either the intelligence of the American kid or just an overcrowded marketplace where there's just so many of these, but mom doesn't know which one to buy.
Yeah, but sometimes it's just, you know, you got to be cute. And cute hits, and I don't know why, it just does. I mean,
well, fucking, that explains Beanie Babies. Remember that?
Yes, Beanie Babies, of course. They were cute, they were collectible, and a whole market sprung up. And if you remember, they had some of those first edition for, you know, series one.
eBay used to, remember, like, they'll highlight. Yeah,
going for thousands of dollars.
I don't get, I don't remember the year. But remember when McDonald's had like Beanie Babies and the Happy Meals or something? And they would have limits on how many you could buy. They had shortages. I remember there was people waiting in line one day for the new one, whatever it was, to come out. And they had a separate line. Those of you that are just here to get food, here. Those of you that want a Beanie Baby, here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is sad.
Well, remember there were fights in stores over Furbies.
Oh my!
And you know, Furby even had that whole national security question that went with it.
You know what? In all honesty, a Furby to me is always, we couldn't get the license for a Mogwai.
Yeah, you're not far from the truth.
You know, because that's what it seems like. They wanted to make Mogwais, and they couldn't get the license, so it's really close to a Mogwai with a creepy fucking face.
And you remember they talked about how the Furby would learn the language that it heard every day and stuff like that?
Yeah, they were supposedly actually intelligent.
They were actually banned. You couldn't take a Furby into the Pentagon. You couldn't take a Furby
because it would hear things.
Because it would hear things and then repeat them and fall into the wrong hands.
That's,
it was completely not true.
Scott, that is a brilliant plot for a sitcom pilot. Undercover CIA guy, the janitor finds out about it. Come on, there's a sitcom pilot built in this, isn't there?
Sure.
Really? You're not going to give me this one? Fine, screw you.
Nope.
Then. Well, what about when the same thing happens on the internet? When you've got things like, I remember this was inescapable. I want to say 2002? Am I about right?
You're close. This one. I would let that whole video play out, but it's, 10 hours long?
Yes, the one we found on YouTube. Now, I posted this recently to my Facebook. It literally was a joke. Like, hey, guys, do you remember how annoying this was? Let's see how long you can take before you fucking lose your mind. And I got about 10 minutes in before I'm like, I think I'm crowning. And yes, I said that.
9 hours, 53 minutes, and 27 seconds.
Just couldn't make it all the way, huh?
Couldn't do it. Tried.
Because, yeah, you've got that. Now, here's the weird thing of why I don't get why that caught on. Okay, it's got a catchy beat, but it's just random words. It's literally just random words. Like, you know, would a beat caught on going, I got macaronis in my pants? Would that catch on? It's just random things. Well, random does not equal funny.
That song from Phineas and Ferb, Squirrels in My Pants, that caught on.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I know. It's modern. You wouldn't.
But I don't know. When Badger Badger came out, it was inescapable.
Right. It was everywhere. And it burned out
really quick. I think that's a lesson for a fan. When you put out a product, whether it's something like that or a physical product, I think you would want to not become a fad, wouldn't you?
It depends entirely on what I'm making. If I'm making Tamagotchi, if I'm making videos for the internet, if I'm making, I don't know, podcasts or radio shows, yeah, I want to become a fad.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I want to become insanely popular very, very quickly, have a lot of people give me a buttload of money in order to advertise on my show, and I want to take that money, stiff it in my ears, flip everybody off, and walk away.
You just described the walkers.
I'm not going there. I'm done picking on them. They do their thing. They're successful. I wish them the best of luck.
I'll never be done throwing shit there.
So okay. The truth is, you know, depending on what I'm making, yeah, I want to be a fad. Like I said, most people, and I realize you're not one of them, but most people want to make money in their life and be very, very successful very, very quickly.
I want that, but I want to do it because of the quality product, and I want to do it because of a consistent quality product, not a, hey, look, this is funny for a month.
And I'd be happy with, hey, look, this is funny for a month, and everybody sharing it amongst themselves, because I know that at least in what we do, there's a long tail. It's a huge, very quick upspike, and then there's a little bit of a drop off, and then there's this long tail of drop off, and that's what I'm the model I would go for.
Fine, and we're ending at 200. Very, very then. Episode 200 is the last Lost in Static. Then
okay,
screw you. Now you tried to explain to me a fad that I, when you initially brought it up,
you had no idea.
Not only did I have no idea, I went to the totally wrong place. And I don't mean a dirty place. Scott brought up an oxygen bar. I said, is that like a granola bar that's like extra oxygen? And I wasn't fucking with you when I said that.
I know.
Although the look you gave me was, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because
you thought I was just screwing with you.
I forget that modern trends are lost on you and modern fads are completely lost on you.
Explain this.
Okay, oxygen bar. Go to a bar, get a little bubbly thing, and breathe. Breathe flavored air.
Isn't that the same thing as one of those plug-in room centers and stuff? Doesn't that do the same thing? I'm breathing scented air, but for $1.95 for a month?
But you don't understand. With the oxygen bars, there was a little bit of misinformation that went along with the fad.
It sounds like a bit of misinformation, really.
People believed that by concentrating the oxygen, and that's all they were. They're medical devices. They're available all over the place. They're oxygen concentrators. They take regular air.
The kind of shit you see old people using when they can't breathe properly.
Right. And they would take that, run it through a bubbler that had menthol or peppermint or whatever flavor, you know, vanilla or whatever flavor you wanted. And then you would breathe it through the canicula, which is the cannula.
Up your nose. Yeah.
Cannula. That's what I was looking for.
Canicula sounds like a bad vampire.
Canicula
knockoff.
Sounds like something out of the Cthulhu universe,
or something like a goofy cartoon Dracula.
But nonetheless, and people went in and did this, and they believed that they were getting high.
So, are you saying oxygen bar, and I'm not being facetious, was predicated basically on fraud, or let me finish, or was it predicated on the stupidity of the American public?
Yes. Yeah, both. I mean, it's a lot like the whole anti-vaccination thing. It's bad information plus stupid American.
Okay, you had a sound clip you wanted to play of the oxygen bar.
Yes.
I was floored when you showed this to me.
Yes, they sounded a lot like this.
O2 or oxygen outside at our altitude with the pollution and whatnot of the big city. So you come in and you're getting much purer air.
Krista is right now laying on the couch, relaxing, breathing on some of the best oxygen you can buy on the planet. We want to find out why you're here breathing on this oxygen.
You can just chill out. You know, they have beanbags, couches, blankets, whatever. You can just
relax. What is the scent or the flavor or the oxygen that you're breathing out right now? Tell the people at home.
This one is the fuzzy navel. I try a new one every time I come.
I wish I had a little bit of this oxygen because it does look good. These guys look so relaxed and chilled out. I'm so high strung. I think I need a little bit of that. What's the kick? Why come to this place?
I like the atmosphere here. The people who own it are just so nice. And it's just always really
yeah.
Okay, now, did you, Scott, notice something in those sound clips that I'm going to ask the same of the audience? Did you notice these people sound high?
They sounded a little bit high.
They sounded like they've been living in Colorado the last month. Colorado has legalized recreational marijuana.
I know.
So, I'm just explaining. We have non-Americans that listen, so that joke might have just flown right over.
Okay. But no, that's and this was all a placebo effect. And what's funny was I was talking to the, because we had one of these oxygen bars try to start up in Green Bay.
Where? I don't remember that. What, would you remember the year?
It was downtown, and I was working at the 26, and they came to the station. This would have been 2005.
Okay. I think I was at Channel 26 then, too. I don't remember. And it must have been when you were on mornings.
They hadn't. Yes, I was in mornings. This was a morning show thing. They hadn't opened up an actual oxygen bar like this place. But they were working on it, and their deal was you could rent the equipment, and they would come to your party at your home, and you could have an oxygen.
The rental was probably outrageous.
It was insane. It was well over $1,000 for a 3 or 4 hour party.
Okay, again, not being facetious, did you have back alley oxygen deals? Hey, man, I can get you some peppermint way cheaper than that bar, man.
No. This was a fad that came and went very, very quickly because it eventually came out to go, you know, with a concentrator, yes, you're getting slightly more oxygen. You're getting about 10 to 15% more oxygen than you get breathing on your own. You still get it. It's still air that you're breathing, and it's still air coming through the cannulae, but it's just got a little bit more oxygen to it, and it doesn't affect you at all.
But I would also think there would be negative side effects because from what I know about medical needs, overly oxygenated blood can be deadly.
Yes,
so
but
I would think if you over... It's sad to say, yes, you can overdose on oxygen.
But at sea level and where we are in altitude, you can't. You could breathe 100% oxygen and you'd feel a little bit woozy, but... It's not going to kill you. Now, at depth or on top of Mount Everest, at height or at depth, because if you breathe pure oxygen underwater, it messes with your blood in other ways.
Well, there's also pressure differences that get
away
but
that's something else completely. I mean, it's oxygen at pressure, at high pressures, is totally different. But and then oxygen up on Mount Everest and stuff will mess with your head. When I fly hot air balloons, if we were flying above 10,000, 15,000 feet, we would have to take oxygen with us. And when you're up there, it's, yeah, you start feeling, no pun intended, high
well,
off the oxygen.
You know, Fight Club used that. That's why they tell you, they give you the oxygen mask when you're crashing, and they tell you to breathe in heavily. Because it makes you feel euphoric, so you don't care as much about that you're about to crash into a mountain.
That's right.
You know, they're not doing this to help you breathe. They're doing this to calm you the fuck down. There's a difference. So let's go back to our childhood. We mentioned them last week, okay? The next trend, then this one did last almost 3 years, so relatively long for an 80s trend that this lasted. But... Garbage Pail Kids.
I loved them.
I loved them at first. And I don't mean like, oh, I grew out of them. I mean like they got dumber and dumber as they went along. They weren't as funny. They weren't as inventive. The first edition and about the first half of the second edition were actually genuinely witty along with the gross. Then they just became gross for the sake of gross. So
right.
So I stopped enjoying them because... It was almost like they weren't trying anymore.
No, I agree with you 100%. And then, to draw a 70s equivalent, have you ever heard of Wacky Packs or Wacky Packaging?
The Wacky Packs with the weird parody,
product
things?
Exactly.
Yes,
those were hugely popular for a short while in the 70s.
And some of them are genuinely witty.
Some of them
most
are extremely.
Most are not.
Yeah, most are not, and it's most of the later ones. Well, Garbage Pail Kids were the same way.
But you for know. A younger... much less discerning audience, really.
That's right.
And they had a cartoon that we never saw in America till last year. But in the 80s, we had this.
Good morning, children. I am here to tell you about the Garbage Pail Kids show. It is disgusting, obnoxious, and worst of all, gross. I think it's terrible that they would put something like this on TV. Don't you? Good. I'm glad you agree. Now, change the channel.
Yeah.
And to be fair, people did change the channel because that never aired. CBS pulled it 1 week before it was going to air. I mean, there were ads in TV Guide. There were listings for it. And then it never showed up. Apparently, CBS executives, and I'm not exaggerating, the article I read in Cinema Fantastique about it, CBS executives knew how popular it was, commissioned the show, and never bothered to actually watch any of them until right before air date. And then decided, no fucking way is this airing on CBS Saturday morning.
And it had, it had to last a while. I mean,
there are 13 episodes.
At least.
And like I said, UK got it. We got it on DVD. There were bootlegs out there from the UK airings,
and I don't
on the bootleg circuit.
I don't know where our little sample came from because there was obviously some music missing and some sound effects missing because she did some when she paused there and then continued her speech. That she did some facial gymnastics that you're like, oh, there were supposed to be sound effects done there and.
Well, like I said, this got pulled right before airing, and you know, knowing what we know about how cheap the cartoons of that era were, could have just been a literal mistake, too.
True.
You know, it just could have been, because the animation's very Hanna-Barbera-ish, you know, almost Ruby Spears-ish, and they were not exactly known for quality continuity in their cartoons, were they?
True, true.
So, the other one that I don't get, I remember these from the 90s, for whatever reason, this was big in the comic book field. These were always included with comics and with the comic magazines. The comic catalogs always had them. We can't find the sound clip of Milhouse, but it's Alf's back in Pog form. Just play the fucking Pog commercial so my brain can fucking explode.
Okay.
This is revoltingly bad.
Yeah, okay. Based on a Hawaiian game involving milk caps.
Okay, explain to me what the point of Pog is. Because all I remember is there were these little circular things, a little bit bigger than a quarter, but not as big as a 50-cent piece. They were cheap-ass cardboard, and they would have pictures of...
everything and its brother, anything you wanted.
Yeah, and they had licensed shit up the at anything that was a franchise in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Or in the 80s that was coming back in the 90s, was franchised to this shit. And I'm sure the franchisers made a ton of money. Pogs died hard. These things had about a four-month window, and then no one gave a shit again.
It remained popular in Hawaii, which is where it came from. It
which
was
makes
based
sense.
On, it was based on a Hawaiian game
yeah,
where they would
sense.
Play
Fine.
With milk caps. That's what Pogs were, basically. And you had... kind of a thicker, usually plastic, sometimes metal or something like that, called a slammer. And you would slam down on top of the Pogs, and you would win the ones that were face up or face down or something like that. And that was the deal. You would stack them up.
It sounds kind of like jacks for retards.
Or marbles. I would
marbles.
It's yeah. really the... It's a dumber version of marbles.
Well, all right, then...
Ow.
Did you just hit your glasses when you moved your mic?
Yes, I did.
You okay?
That hurt, but I'll be all right.
Since you're good at doing this, let's devil's advocate. You play the corporate mindset.
Okay.
Okay, there's this uniquely regional game in Hawaii.
Okay.
We can bring it to mainstream America.
Sounds good.
Let's... buy every single license we can. There's no way this fails. 4 months later, why is nobody buying this shit? Oh, because it's a one-note game and everyone doesn't need Lord of the Rings Pogs and Youngblood Pogs and Alf Pogs and Simpsons Pogs. And talk about, give me the corporate mindset of why they thought this would work.
How much does it cost to make them? What are they made of?
They made a cheap fucking cardboard.
Okay.
The licenses probably cost far more than the actual product.
Okay, but they're very cheap to make.
They're very cheap to make.
Will we make a shit ton of money all at once?
Not really. Pogs actually had the market fell out really, really fast.
Yeah, I know.
So Pogs did not make a lot of money right away.
But the corporate people that said yes to them had people around them going, yes, they will.
And like I said, they probably wasted more money on getting the licenses for shit no one cared about.
Who cares? We would have made money in the long term. You know, it was worth a shot. Boom, they hit. Everybody wants to learn how to play Pogs, and so let's get them out there.
All right, fine. Fair
and it's cheap. You know, it's something cheap for mom and dad to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, now you brought up the Slankit and the Snuggie.
The Slankit and the Snuggie.
These hits 5-6 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit more than that.
I want to say like 08, 09?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there?
Maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 07. They have been around. They were not an overnight success because they've been around for a while, and they've been sold on late night infomercials and
that's the first
midday.
Place I ever heard of them was an infomercial that I actually thought was a parody at first.
Right. And but they took off because, yeah, '08, '09, they really took off because of the ironic, we're going to get a Snuggie because it's funny.
Well, and to me, and yes, I'm being me on this, it's just one more aspect of our downfall as a civilization. I need a blanket that I can wear. That's just lazy on a ridiculously lazy level.
Yeah, you could have taken a bathrobe and turned it around backwards.
Isn't that essentially what this is?
Yep.
Now, in all honesty, Slankit is actually a really catchy term.
And they were around
first.
Because
it was a blanket with sleeves.
And they actually, I believe the Slankit sued the hell out of Snuggie at one point. Because the Slankit's been around since the early 90s, late mid-90s.
You can't copyright an idea.
Well, you can copyright a product.
You can copyright the process or the actual product that you put out, not the process or the idea of the product.
And if you saw a Slankit, they were nearly identical to Snuggies. This was justified. It was because apparently at one point the people who make the Snuggies went to the Slankit people and went, that's a really neat idea. We'd like to market it. And Slankit went, okay, it'll cost you this much. And Snuggie went, we changed our minds and started manufacturing their own basically identical product. And boom, it was a court case.
Did they win?
No. No.
Because like I said, you cannot copyright or trademark a specific product.
No, what happened was the Snuggie people delayed and delayed and delayed and cost them, you know, the legal costs racked up and Slankit went bankrupt.
Ah, okay.
And then somebody else bought the Slankit name and you can get Slankit too.
And then Slankit got even worse. Or no, Snuggie did. They now have pet Snuggies. I saw them at the checkout.
Yeah,
the other
pet Snuggies and Duck Dynasty Snuggies and camouflage Snuggies and
that's
zebra Snuggies
sick.
And everything and its brother that you can get them.
Now, I'm going to go back to when we were little kids. This fad actually lasted a lot long. Okay, this trend went up and down. It was big for a little while in the 70s and then vanished until the early 80s brought it back. Remember wacky wall walkers?
Oh, I loved those little things.
This one had a dip. No one gave a shit about them from about 78 to 82. Then I remember what kicked it off in my house. We were giving away in cereal boxes. Like
yeah.
I mentioned, you know, the cereal boxes, and they were big again in the 80s. So this is one of those ones that doesn't follow the traditional trend failure where it just goes away or becomes ironic. This one actually had a legit rise back up.
Right.
Wall Walker was essentially an octopus made out of sticky
silicon. It was a coated silicon.
Yeah. And
at least the ones in the 80s were.
Yeah, we were too young. I remember them being around in the 70s, but I'm assuming it's the same basic process.
Now, that's actually, when it comes to Wacky Wall Walkers, that's why there was a slight rise in the trend again.
Was it better quality?
We got better quality silicon that lasted longer, silicone, whatever it is, that lasted longer, and you could wash them.
I'll get to that in a second, the washing part. What it basically was, it was like this octopus-like creature made out of the sticky silicone. And what you would do is you'd throw it up on the wall, and gravity would slowly make it fall down. But because it was sticky, the other legs would stick to various parts of the wall. So it would look like it was crawling, in reality falling, slowly down the wall. And it was a wacky wall walker.
Yep.
And the problem is, it's fine on the wall. When, you remember, we're talking it's sticky silicone. So you end up on the floor, that thing picked up every piece of hair, dirt, dust, paper, whatever. These things got dirty like that.
Oh, yeah. And that's why they came back, because in the 70s, you would take them and you would wash them once, and they would just be done.
They'd basically fall apart.
They wouldn't really fall apart, but there was no more sticky.
They were just a little plastic octopus.
Yeah, they became a plastic octopus at that point. When it came to, I don't know what process changed or whatever, but the ones in the 80s, you could wash all of that crap off of them.
And as long as you couldn't dry them, because if you dried them, it wouldn't come back right. You had to let them air dry.
Right. But they couldn't touch anything while they were air drying either.
Yeah, you had to put like a bucket over them or something.
I always, what I did was, because they had, it was the little octopus with the arms, and then it had the hole in the bottom.
Yeah.
I always washed them off, and then I put them on the end of pencils.
That makes sense. And then they had different varieties of those. The octopus is the one everyone knows, but they had other animal wacky wall walkers. I remember seeing some of those. That was after I stopped caring, but I remember seeing them in the stores. Because you could buy these, like I said, all of the ones I got, I remember getting in cereal boxes.
Oh, you still can.
Back when cereal boxes had cool prizes.
Yes.
Nowadays, I'm sorry, I'm old manning out here. It's not the same when you get a free download of this new song from iTunes. It's not the same, Scott.
Yes, get off my lawn.
Yes, sorry if I'm old manning on that one, but wow. That talk about fumigation, I just farted like crazy. I was ranting so hard, I just let go.
Wow, that's nice of you to share. So, anyway.
So, you know, but I remember there is wacky wall walkers. It's hard to say. Yes, that.
There is a modern incarnation of them, too. And it is, for instance, I got one for Dawn that's in the shape of Lumpy Space Princess, and I'm guessing you have no idea.
No, I have no clue what that is, dude.
Yeah, the cool people in the audience know who Lumpy Space Princess is. And it's kind of filled with water. And it's made out of that same wacky wall walker stuff, only you the way it's supposed to go is you slam it against the wall as hard as you can, and it spreads out way out.
I've seen those. There was a kiosk at the mall.
Yeah.
There was these kids just smacking them down, and they would, and then slowly pull back
gather
together.
Themselves up.
Yes.
And this one, it's in the shape of Lumpy Space Princess. You slam her against the wall. It's a big purple blooch. And then it slowly comes back to the shape of Lumpy Space Princess.
Isn't that kind of the same product that Stretch Armstrong was made out of, the arm parts, the arms and leg parts?
No.
Because he would always return back to his general shape. Just trust me, if you ever had a real Stretch Armstrong, you got about three good stretches out of it before it was just...
the cornstarch would die in them.
Yeah.
But no, it's Stretch Armstrong, actually, his arms were rubber.
Okay.
They were a type of rubber.
I haven't had one since fucking 80s.
So this again is a squishy plastic, basically.
Okay. Now, one fad we're going to talk about is going to dip into a weird area. Miami Vice fashion. Remember when Miami Vice hit in 84? It didn't hit big until 85, till the beginning of season 2. Everyone wanted to dress like Crockett and Tubbs.
Well, you had the pastel colors. You had the sports jacket, I think, is...
Remember the dirty shave, too, for men.
Yeah.
You know, that fat fucking 5 o'clock shadow shit.
Yep. The tight rolls on the pants, the rolled up sleeves on the jacket, the pink shirts.
The pink shirts with the unbuttoned jacket over
it.
Yeah. And okay, I know, you know, television influences pop culture.
And
fine,
boat shoes.
Enough. But
I'm in the middle of Indiana and I'm wearing boat shoes.
But I don't understand how that specific show, the trends in it caught on so much. And I'm a Vice fan. And I just don't get because those were ugly then. Because, like, for one thing, if you've ever watched Miami Vice, you probably didn't notice this. But nothing red. Michael Mann would not allow anything red. No red cars, no red jackets, no red clothes, no red books. Try to find something red in Miami Vice.
Not going
to
happen.
He's specific. I don't know why, but he set out to dictate no red.
Okay.
Which is a strange when you come to fashion, when red is one of the primary colors used for clothing.
And I think that's what set it apart. It was something different. Fashion throughout the 70s, you had all of those wild and wacky and weird colors and patterns all meshing together.
You mean those ones that look like they could tune a fucking TV station in because of how loud they were?
Right. And then you hit the 80s and people kind of calmed down and the black suit came back around and the power suit came around.
Yuppies.
And yeah, yuppies came around and you had tartan and...
I don't know what tartan is.
Scottish.
Oh, okay.
Plaid.
Okay.
So you had tartan skirts for girls and tartan ties for boys and the suit. And then Miami Vice hit and you get these bright colors back. Now they're not clashing with one another.
But they're not exactly complementary either.
They're kind of complementary. They work well together, but they're bright color and you can have that bright color back. And I think that's what sold it really.
Well, but then you also had, and this was the weird thing about the Miami Vice fashions. And I'm saying this in a positive, even though at the time it probably wasn't seen as such. In the era of gay liberation and whatnot, straight, manly men wearing pink came about due to Miami Vice. In a weird way, that's a good thing, isn't it? But kind of surprising when you go, in the era of AIDS, that was weird.
Pink became a power color. And it's not the Lisa Frank pink. It's not that pink. It was girly pink. It was the muted pastel pink that men could wear.
But it was still pink. Before Miami Vice, a manly man, a straight man that wears a pink shirt, almost unheard of.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if that's good or bad or what it has to do with gay liberation, but...
Well, because gays latched onto the whole pink thing. But before we run out of time, you wanted to talk about dance trends. I know how much you love the Macarena and river dance and all
yes,
that shit.
I just adore them.
I was being facetious.
I know. Well, of course, one of the dance crazes that hit when you and I were growing up, of course, you know, going back to the 50s and stuff, you had the Watusi and the twist and blah, 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 blah. The big one that hit with us was breakdancing.
Oh, my God. I never understood it.
The fashion, the hip hop, the spinning, all kinds. You know,
I'm not going to say it didn't take talent to do that.
The
stuff.
Breaking of
saying,
necks.
the break in breakdancing was aptly titled because I remember seeing a report in the emergency room of how many. Well, you know, we almost had to have a breakdancing ward.
And after that, you know, you like you said, the Macarena was the big one in the 90s.
Then there was the river dance. Don't move your arms.
Yeah, don't move your arms. Just your legs go crazy. Dirty dancing. We had and the lumbada.
You remember when those hit? Oh, my God, the fucking lumbada.
Yes,
yeah,
the forbidden dance.
I'd forgotten about that one.
The forbidden dance. But, you know, they come and they go, and they're neat, and they're flashes in the pan. And line dancing, country line dancing. I know you love
sickeningly
that.
Enough.
Yeah.
I still see fucking infomercials for the buy the DVD of this. I'm like, this is still a thing?
Yep.
I did not know this was still a thing, Scott.
You really have to travel. We're going to have to get you out of the North.
The North?
We're going to get you out of the North and get you... I mean, even in Evansville, there was a line dancing... Well, at one point, there was like 10 or 12 line dancing bars.
I'd probably get lynched down south when I start making fun of how funny these people talk down here.
You'd get your ass handed to you. But nonetheless, we got to get out of here. So thanks a lot for joining us. I hope you enjoyed our talk about fads. We will see you guys next week. Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.